it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. What do we make of these Eagles mounting evidence that they are, in fact, pretenders and not contenders at 4-0? Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Chief yesterday had the stat they lead the league in three and out rate. And today I saw their total offense is 30th. Their total defense is 22nd, but their win percentage is first.
100.
So, yeah. What do you make of this? How do you explain the Eagles' success so far?
Man. Special teams.
Yeah.
I think special teams is a huge thing, right? That's how they were able to beat the Rams. And really, I think that's what ended up being the difference maker against the Bucs. They were able to block, and Sidney Brown had a return for a touchdown. So, look, you got to give them credit. They've won 20 of 21 games. So they're finding ways to win even when they're at their not at their best. But I do wonder about that offensive line. Like, are we finally seeing some cracks in the armor when it comes to the rushing attack with some of the numbers that you gave us yesterday? And Lane Johnson's been banged up.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some injuries on the offensive line. And like even Landon Dickerson, guy who's played, he's been super banged up. So he's just not quite himself. They're not getting the same level of push. Their yards before contact now is middle of the road, and it's usually like number one the last 4 or 5 years. They're getting great push, and they're not getting that right now. Then you mix in the fact that you have another new offensive coordinator as well. You have Jalen Hurts, who's just kind of up and down as a passer, and this is kind of what it results in.
So I don't know what an accurate projection would be right now at 4-0 already. I think they got to be thinking 11-12 wins, but heck, the wheels came off in 2023, and there's this lingering, you know, backstory of how happy is A.J. Brown. He told you on social media before the season started he plays this game to dominate, and they're saying all the right things, like he just wants the ball more. This is all about, you know, winning and being productive, but the Eagles are giving you no sign publicly that they'd want to trade him. But in today's Jeremy Fowler piece, some execs believe they could possibly trade A.J. Brown. And if that happens, I think they're significantly less. They got to be thinking right now, holy crap, we got rid of like six key guys for salary cap reasons. This is like the Chiefs winning it in a rebuilding year. Like, are we really going to do this? But I think I think that idea could fall apart on them pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know how hard that is to do?
Yeah,
like where you're just dragging a team and just finding ways late in games. You have to have an unbelievable coach, and you have to have an unbelievable quarterback. And the Chiefs were doing it as well with like a supreme defense,
right?
Which at this point, the Eagles aren't quite that.
No, like they have got a supreme corner, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, he's right behind Pat Surtain in terms of one-on-one, taking on the best receiver in football. He's got the best stats, according to Next Gen, being able to shut down that guy. But, I mean, yeah, that the dysfunction aspect of it, that and health is kind of why I faded the Eagles at the beginning of the season. Because you saw even when they were 10-1 in 2023, they just completely had a dysfunctional locker room that just deteriorated on itself. And the Cowboys were able to come back, win that division, then they get blown out on the road in the wild card round against Tampa Bay. So this love-hate relate, like Jeremy Fowler saying it's the worst-kept secret inside the league, that Brown's got a love-hate relationship with Philly's passing game bubbles, and that bubbles to the surface from time to time. So maybe that's something that can be, you talk about enemy from within type of stuff, maybe that ends up just being something where they start losing games. The A.J. Brown thing's an issue. Maybe some other players are unhappy. Eventually, Barkley, like he's a team player, but he's not having the success that he's used to either. So I don't know. I'm hoping this thing just becomes so dysfunctional that they just cannibalize each other.
Yeah, and usually like when a star wide receiver's not getting the targets or whatever, but the team's still winning, you're kind of like, hey, dude, you guys are still winning. But I think it's obvious to sort of be able to see through that a little bit. I get why A.J. Brown is feeling the way he's feeling. Like, you're not winning games consistently. You're not winning a Super Bowl when you don't complete a pass in the second half of games.
Yeah.
When your offense just completely disappears and your quarterback's super erratic, like, yeah, you're 4-0 right now, but he understands that with what our expectations are, competing for a Super Bowl, we can't continue to do this. I don't know that A.J. Brown would be feeling this type of way if the offense was humming. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the passing game's awesome, things are going well, I'm just not really getting mine right now. I think he'd be able to stomach it a little bit more other than feeling like, man, we're barely winning these games.
It is tough to manage success. I think that's a big part of it. Like, everybody's saying, you're winning games, how could this be a problem? But it's just the toxic nature of being important and feeling appreciated and being productive. And then, you know, for Brown, he's one of the star players that I think is really attracted to playing the game of football because he's so great at it, because I get to go out here and make everybody cheer my name. It's been happening for him his entire life, and the sport's just not the same if it's not happening at that level. I think the good news for them right now is they got some fairly manageable games coming up on their schedule for the next month. Hell, maybe they get to 8-0. Broncos, Giants, at Minnesota.
Giants again, right?
And then Giants again there. So, three out of the next four seem like they should be cakewalks. But as we saw with Green Bay against Cleveland, some crazy stuff can happen. And Denver does quite a few things well.
Be a heck of a stretch for them, though, when you get into early November and it's Packers, Lions, Cowboys.
Yeah, wheels could come off there. I think the trade deadline would have passed by then, you know, if you're hoping an A.J. Brown. I think if they were trying to trade A.J. Brown, I don't know if they'd want picks or they'd want a dominant defensive player or exactly what they would want, but that could get really interesting if Jeremy Fowler's report is true, that it's, out there in the front offices believing that they could move him. All right, top college quarterbacks. Who needs to be on your radar? How much has the quarterback landscape shifted in the 5 weeks since the season started? If you're looking for your next QB, which one of these guys do you want? And where is Arch on this list? Okay, and then as we get to that, how much do you expect him to recover from what's kind of become a less than ideal start? I mean, the only scenario the Cowboys would be taking a quarterback next spring is an injury situation. Dak's going to be 33 in July. He's absolutely balling. You're looking at what's left on this contract now with some optimism as long as...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As he stays healthy, but how do you look at these? These are our ESPN quarterback power rankings, and at number one, that's why I asked Jared when I ran into him today when he was doing the KNC masterpiece stuff. By the way, congrats to Jared; it was terrific news on social media. But Jaden Maiava at USC is the top guy on ESPN's QB quarterback index. Brian, you seen him play much yet?
I watched him play against Illinois the other day and was super impressed with his ability. He's got exceptional touch of the ball. And when it needs to be kind of, just kind of tossed over the top of a linebacker, thrown in front of somebody, this guy's really, really good. And I don't think he gets rattled in these games. I was, Illinois, the crowd was pretty, was pretty raucous in that game. He hung in there. I was kind of impressed because I didn't know anything about him, but man, I'm watching him move the ball and USC's had some quarterbacks in the past, but this kid looks like legitimately like he can. Nothing seemed to bother him in that game.
Yes.
And I was impressed by that.
Well, he's tall. He probably sees everything and he's fast, so he can run away.
He moves around very, very well. That's the first time I'd seen him. I admit I haven't watched much USC football, but I did stop down and watch a little Illinois against them, and I was like, man, what's the, they finally found one.
He's been incredible versus the blitz as well. When you go inside the numbers on when you blitz this guy, he just completely torches you. He's dang near number one in every category.
What do you guys do with the short guys coming out these days?
I'm done with them.
You're done?
I'm out.
Because 2 and 3 are shorter guys, Pavia and Trinidad. Is it Chambliss or Chambliss?
He's the one that Ole Miss.
He just took over there for Austin Simmons.
He's an interesting guy because he came from a Division III?
Fair State, I think.
Yeah, it was something. He was playing in front of 5,000 people, and last week he was playing.
And they won it all. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, he made some really good throws in that LSU game, and his ability to kind of scramble around, another guy with a lot of movement. But yeah, not a lot of experience on the highest of levels, but it didn't look too big for him against LSU. That was, LSU's defense is pretty darn good this year, and he navigated that thing pretty well.
ESPN's fourth-rated college quarterback right now, Fernando Mendoza, is Indiana, has another player second year in a row. They found a guy, and
he's the real deal.
It's really unbelievable how good that program is now.
Yeah. Mendoza, there's really not much. You look at him.
He's very aware of the lines.
Yeah, I don't really see a lot of weaknesses in his game.
And then we go on a run, right? Until I just kept scrolling down, being like, "Where is Arch? Where is Arch?" I found John Mateer at 12, and it's interesting. You know, the guy that was the Heisman front runner before the injury, sitting down there at 12. But they say it's tricky to evaluate because the offense has been mediocre this season. 61 points per drive, 61st in points per drive. But anything good has probably been because of him. He's carrying a heavy load for an otherwise poor run game, and he's distributing the ball nicely. You get Baylor, Sawyer Robertson at 21, Josh Hoover, TCU at 23, Marcel Reed with the Aggies at 26, then the Red Baron, Baron Morton at 28, Kevin Jennings, 35 at SMU, and then 41's Arch Manning, saying it almost looks like paralysis by analysis for Manning. He's been raised as a perfect QB specimen, knows every angle, seems to freeze up while considering what to do. Averages 3.1 seconds to throw. That's the 7th most in the country.
Wow.
He's 100th in interception rate and 96th in completion rate. Texas defense will buy him developmental time, but things could click at any moment, they say. They just haven't. Do you believe they'll click for Arch?
Yeah, I'm a believer that it's going to click for him now. It's the first big test this week. SEC play starts,
yeah,
and they're taking on a Florida Gator team. Desperate team theory. It's alive there. I think they're going to get their star freshman wide receiver making his debut as he's been banged up to start the season. You go on the road to the Swamp. This is where we're going to start to see you don't have any more time now, Arch. Now is where you need to start hitting the ground running. You need to start peaking here.
Do you feel like this is going to sound weird, Wolchuk, but could he get what happened to previous quarterback? Could they move on from this guy?
No.
Arch? No. I think that they're committed to Arch. I don't see that there's any way.
If it ends up to be a Texas Bowl appearance or something like
that. No, I think that he's starting for them next year no matter what.
Okay. Because that's funny. I was just looking at the top quarterbacks, according to Pro Football Focus for the season, and Arch is number one. Kate Klubnik at Clemson's number two. Boy, that guy's falling off the map. Drew Allard.
Yeah, Klubnik is behind Arch in these rankings.
Yeah, Drew Aller for Penn State is on this list. Nussmeier hadn't played very well at all. I mean, Dave's talking about an arm injury. Sam Levitt, I watched a little of Arizona State.
I love Sam Levitt.
He's an interesting guy.
He's got some it about him, and he can run.
Carson Beck has looked good Look at Miami. Lenore Sellers, they're talking about him transferring from South Carolina now.
Poof.
So, and then our guy from UCLA. They brought with the guy with Nico with the funny last name.
Yamaleva.
Yeah.
I am a leaving.
Yeah.
He's been bad.
Talon Green at Arkansas. Mendoza's down on this list. Mendoza's the last guy.
Yeah, Mendoza's
Be better than all these guys.
The young buck that's been awesome is CJ Carr from Notre Dame. That dude has been lighting
up. I've seen Notre Dame play a little bit.
He's just gotten better and better every week.
Yeah.
Bo Pribula at Mizzou is another guy that's going to start being talked about here. Mizzou's undefeated right now.
If I'm a great offensive lineman, wide receiver, running back, though, and Arch continues to play like this, and I'm Sark, and I'm hearing from players that maybe aren't thinking that this is a great place to come play.
I should ask you this question.
You got to be open-minded to it.
I knew somebody would bite on that.
I don't think he's playing well enough to keep the job just based on projection, and they've continued to recruit other quarterbacks. There's 4 or 5 other guys in that
program. They got Rajah Bell's son. Okay. Who's a 5-star guy. He's probably the next. But they like to redshirt him, and This is just kind of how Sark is. I mean, I'll ask around at my Texas peeps, but I don't think that they. I'd be absolutely stunned right now if they decided, you know what, this didn't work out for us and we're moving on.
Well, it's possible that, you know, I maybe for him he needs to move. Seems like if you go to Oregon, you kind of figure out you all of a sudden you go from being Bo Nix to being Bo Nix drafted in the first round.
I think by the end of the year with Arch, we're going to be like, okay, we can see it.
How old is our guy at Oregon, by the way?
Dante Moore?
Yeah.
He's just in his second. I think
he's young.
I think he was a freshman.
Oh, so he's
going to
be there for
UCLA.
A little bit?
Yeah.
All right.
I think he's got one more year. And a lot of people texting about Drew Mestemaker at UNT. I mean, that's a kid that's not going to be NFL eligible.
Where'd we get him?
He's a star. He was a backup at in high school, so he didn't really start many games. I think he might have only started one. The story on him is pretty crazy. I think he's only started now 6-7 games his entire football life.
Wow.
And he's out here just freaking dealing for Eric Morris. He's going to get a fat bag by somebody in the transfer portal. And Chandler Morris, who left and is at Virginia, is playing fantastic
this year.
Just
beat FSU.
Yeah, saw that.
He's still in the league?
Yeah.
Yep, NCAA league, that is. Okay, we got to run. Trayvon Diggs is in the news. Tyler Smith, Kevontae Turpin, plus big picture storylines for Cowboys and Jets, and that's coming up next year on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.